deadly California fires.
Two of my friends right now are missing, and I'm hoping it ain't one of the body counts.
250,000 evacuated.
My home survived, but I've never felt more alone.
New fitness guidelines.
What happens early in childhood really charts a course that can last for decades.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, presented by Zoom Video Conferencing.
Good morning. I'm Steve Kathan.
And I'm Jeff Glore. In Calabasas, California, at least 31 deaths are blamed on the wildfires that have roared through parts of this state over the past few days. 29 of those deaths in Northern California, where the town of Paradise was wiped out and people who fled are telling tales of sheer terror. Maria Villarreal is there.
Daryl Wilkins and his patients fled the raging flames in Paradise.
How close did the fire get?
It was everywhere.
Wilkin, a registered nurse, was one of several Feather River Hospital staff members who helped evacuate patients as the campfire closed in.
Was there a fear at any point that they could even die in your car
You're
trying to get away?
Sure.
Wilkin had three patients, two critical in his car. Vehicles around him were on fire. He thought they may be next, so he and his patients called their families to say goodbye.
What do you do when you go through hell? Well, you just keep going.
It took them more than 3 hours to get through hell.
You're still shaking.
I'm still shaking every time I talk about it.
My colleague Steve Futterman is with me here in Southern California with the latest on the fires in this area that have done so much damage.
The destruction is widespread, especially here in the Malibu area. City Councilman Lou Lamont.
It is just devastating. Dozens and dozens and dozens of homes. It is just unbelievable.
Yesterday, despite strong winds, fire crews did their best to prevent the fire from spreading, and they largely succeeded. L.A. County Fire Chief Daryl Ospey.
It's encouraging that none of the flare-ups exceeded the containment lines.
But today, the winds will be back with gusts of up to 60, 70 miles an hour. Much of the fire is in steep terrain, largely inaccessible areas, and fire crews will be attacking it both on the ground and from the air.
8,000 firefighters are hard at work across California. 250,000 residents have been forced from their homes.
We have a real challenge here, threatening our whole way of life.
California Governor Jerry Brown has asked President Trump for extra resources after declaring a major disaster Sunday. The governor spoke a day after the president tweeted a message appearing to blame the California government for recent wildfires. The union that represents the majority of firefighters in this state pushed back, labeling the comments insulting and reckless.
It's a time to pull together and work through this tragedy. Things like this will be part of our future. Things like this and worse.
Firefighters are getting no break from the weather. Forecasters call for more gusty winds, and there is no rain expected anytime soon. Steve?
Well, Jeff, nearly a week after Election Day, the focus is on two states where key races are still up in the air. We begin in Florida with CBS's Peter King. He's got the latest on the recount of votes in the battle for the U.S. Senate seats.
The Rick Scott campaign has filed emergency motions for the sheriff's office in Broward and Palm Beach counties, two heavily Democratic counties where there have been slow vote counts, to impound and secure the voting machines, ballots, and related devices when they are not actually being used in the recount. They charge in Broward County that the election supervisor has a history of election improprieties. The Bill Nelson campaign says Rick Scott's just afraid he's going to lose.
I'm Jim Crisula. With the Georgia governor's race still undecided, Democrat Stacey Abrams' campaign is reaching out to the thousands of voters who filed provisional ballots last Tuesday. State Representative Renita Shannon is an Abrams campaign volunteer.
This is the real work of letting folks know exactly what they need to do to make sure their voice is heard.
Abrams' campaign believes there are still enough uncounted ballots to force a runoff with Republican Brian Kemp, who has declared a victory.
In Arizona, votes are still being counted in the close Senate race. Democrat Kyrsten Sinema has the edge over Republican Martha McSally. Over the weekend, Democrat Harley Ruda was declared the winner in the California House seat. It's been held for three decades by Republican Dana Rohrabacher. President Trump is back in the U.S. after an eventful weekend in France to commemorate the 100th anniversary of the end of World War I. We're live with White House correspondent Stephen Portnoy.
The president visited an American cemetery on the outskirts of Paris yesterday, but he did not take part in an earlier procession of his fellow world leaders. The day before, he canceled a planned visit to another cemetery. The White House said it was due to bad weather, though his counterparts had no trouble venturing out in the rain. French President Emmanuel Macron, speaking at the Arc de Triomphe, blasted the concept of nationalism, calling it a betrayal of patriotism. Mr. Trump proudly calls himself a nationalist. Steve?
The top Senate Democrat says he'll try to attach a measure protecting Special Counsel Robert Mueller to a must-pass bill, such as spending legislation, if the acting Attorney General Matthew Whitaker does not recuse himself from oversight of the Russia investigation. Chuck Schumer says Whitaker has already shown he's biased. Republicans are divided over whether Mueller needs protection. CBS's Paula Reed.
The president is deep in the process of trying to select a permanent attorney general, but some of the names that have been floated, including Rudy Giuliani and Florida Attorney General Pam Bondi, are also Trump loyalists. And Democrats will likely try to argue that they, too, would work to try to protect the president from the Russia investigation.
Well, two Navy pilots have been rescued after they got out of their combat jet as it crashed off the Philippines. It's the second accident involving a fighter plane from the USS Ronald Reagan in less than a month. The government's updating fitness guidelines, recommending a weekly total of 150 minutes of exercise for adults. And for the first time, there are recommendations for children as young as three. CBS's Dr. Tara Narula.
The guidelines tell parents and caregivers to encourage active play and to be models of movement.
We go to the playground unless it's really raining bad or cold. And even inside, we do different activities.
Ben Augustine, father of three-year-old Lena, found one strategy to overcome the pull of screen time.
In addition to reading a book, trying to get them to play. And it seems like having a friend to do it with is the best way.
New research published in the New England Journal of Medicine indicates vitamin D and fish oils do not reduce heart disease or cancer rates. The study found higher amounts of highly purified fish oil did cut the risk of heart attack and stroke. Learning cardiopulmonary resuscitation to help save a life is easier than ever. CBS's Matt Piper looks at a new technique that's gaining wider acceptance.
The American Heart Association says hands-only CPR is as effective as conventional CPR, but simplifies the skill. Kits and kiosks to learn how to perform it are popping up in public places like airports. Jerry Gies is a firefighter at Indianapolis International.
Since immediate bystander CPR can double or even triple a person's chance of survival, it's crucial that as many people as possible receive hands-only CPR training.
An association study says those who participate in a free 4-minute kiosk session were able to perform hands-only CPR similarly to those who took a 30-minute classroom exercise. Matt Piper, CBS News.
And that's the CBS World News Roundup for Monday. For Jeff Glore in California, I'm Steve Kathan, CBS News.